for an evening filled with paranormal, special guests, interviews, haunting stories, creatures of the unknown, and tales that will chill you to the bone. Brought to you by the UPRN Network and Pittsburgh Paranormal Society. Take a walk into the night with Sean Kelly.
Hey, good evening, everybody. Welcome to Into the Night. My name is Sean Kelly, and I'll be your host for the show. So how's everybody doing tonight? We had an awesome show on Chasing Prophecy, and we talked a little bit about stuff like fairies and the black eye, thinking it's Illuminati or something like that, and it was just a good show. But before I go on, I want to thank UPRN 105.3 New Orleans for doing my show into the night. Now, my guest, she canceled tonight, and she had some business, personal business to take care of. So it's going to be whatever comes out of my mouth, but that's okay. But I do want to get to, like I usually do at the beginning of the show, about mental illness. And this is a bad time of the year for a lot of people who are depressed, who have anxiety, who's just not feeling up to par, and they're feeling lonely, and they're feeling upset not being with their family, or they lost their loved ones. And I pray every night for every one of y'all. And I'm going to throw in a couple extra prayers for this holiday season coming up, because think about it, right? With the COVID and all the nastiness going out there in the world, it's a lot of people are not in a good spot, you know? So my mental illness is, it's doing okay. My anxiety is coming down a lot. They updosed my prescription, and you know, it's helping me out pretty decent. Now, for me, you know, starting to take medication for my anxiety, what really scared me the most, even taking the medication, was I'm very empathic, and I hate the word psychic, but I'm into it, because being called a psychic, or, you know, make myself, like, say the name psychic, I don't like that, because to me, it's like showcasing. I'm intuitive. And what my fear was, for me, was that this medication would stop me from being able to, you know, do empathic work, to do ghost hunting work. Hi, Joni. How are you? Thank you for sticking around. And I really thought it was hard. It would be hard that I wouldn't be able to concentrate or talk to spirits or try to help people out. But I come to find out, though, that it really hasn't. And I still have the gift. My empathic gift, my intuitive gift, and helping people, which I'm really grateful for, because I was a little leery of taking medication. As you all know, that I have 30 years of recovery as an alcoholic. And so when I quit the drinking, I wouldn't take medication because I'm an addict. You know, I'm definitely an addict. I was addicted to alcohol. I was addicted to gambling. I was addicted to anything that I could be addicted to. And I was just afraid if I started taking medication for me to get better, that it would, in fact, hi, Rodney, how are you? Thank you. And, so when getting medication, I know I'd probably be addicted to that. And I didn't want that to happen. And so I kind of stared away from it. I kept away from it. I didn't want to do it, fearing that I would have that addict mind going to taking pills and looking for my pill. But I come to find out that I needed medication. I needed medication to get my mind right in order to stop my anxiety, even to start, you know. And I've noticed that this anxiety medicine that I got, that I'm taking, it also helped with my depression too, you know. So that's helping. That's helping out a lot. And talking about my anxiety and my depression and stuff like that, that also helps me out too. And I really, really do hope that, you know, this little segment of the show helps you out too. Just remember, I do care about you. I care about everybody. The addicts, the alcoholics, everybody that's in the 12-step recovery program, God bless you all, you know. And you know, for me, the holidays are really, really tough. And so what happened was that when I was in recovery, I always made sure I had telephone numbers on me. And I always made sure that I did what I had to do to stay sober. And so anybody out there that, you know, is in recovery, please, please, please grab numbers, contact somebody. You don't want to be in that funk mood whenever during the holidays. Holidays are supposed to be for happiness, loving family get together, blah, 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 turkey, mashed potatoes, and watch some football. And just being grateful to have your family around. But whenever, hey, Dell, how are you, buddy? Thank you, buddy. Appreciate that, Dell. That's my friend, Dell. Make sure you have somebody around. I know here in Pittsburgh that I have a lot of good AA support, and that they have their annual Christmas party. Hi, Doreen. How are you, hon? And, wow, this is great. I love all my people who are on, man. This is like touching my heart. Thank you. And I got a good support system. I have my sponsor on speed dial, you know. I'm not afraid to tell people that I have been sober. In fact, and I'm not egotistical about it now, I'll be honest with you. At the beginning, when I would get a couple years in, 2, 3, 4 years in, I had an ego. I was like, yeah, I'm on top of the world, you know, I'm sober, I'm clean, the whole nine yards. But stuff did happen in my life during recovery that it didn't turn out well. I had 5 years of recovery, sobriety, and I got a divorce from my wife. You know, I didn't spend time with my son. He wasn't living with me. He was staying with his mom, but I got to see him whenever I could. And it was hell. It was hell. But for me and my higher power at the time, I will call him, will say, it is God. I pray to him a lot. And you know what? Even though I didn't get what I wanted, he always gave me what I needed. And that was really, really important to me. And at the time, you know, my brain was going like really, really crazy, like, oh, like just going 100 miles an hour and stuff like that. And it took me a while, but I realized that, you know, my higher power took care of me, and I didn't realize it because I was too focused on myself and what was around me. And that's what I want to speak a little bit about gratitude. How many people are out there grateful for what they have? You know, my gratitude list is so huge, so huge. I'm grateful for all the people that have been in my life, you know, who I've met on the way. I'm grateful for my family, you know, friends. I have so many friends. I have a lot of acquaintances. And I have to say, they are great, great friends, you know. I mean, I can call on them and talk. And it's just, I have a lot of gratitude. And I just love it. But the biggest thing that I'm totally, totally grateful for is my son. Okay. He's 31 years old. And yeah, Doreen, he's 31. And he spent 12 years of regular school and he spent 12 years of college. And he got his PhD in microbiology. And to this day, he has never seen me take a drink. And to me, that is the biggest, biggest thing that I am totally grateful for. It's funny, I like to tell a couple stories about it where, you know, we, yeah, you think you feel old. I know I'm old. But there was times where I had to force him to buy him a beer because I wanted to buy him. Was Pittsburgh Paranormal Society, we used to have St. Patrick's Day parties, okay? And he was in town, and I took him, and I said, come on, dude, you know, I'm going to buy you a beer. Oh, no, Dad, I don't want to. I don't want you to. I don't want you to. I said, listen, dude, if I'm going to buy you a beer, I'm going to buy you a beer. Doesn't mean I have to drink a beer, but I want to buy you a beer. And so I bought him a beer, you know, and he was so nervous. And even to this day, he really doesn't like to talk about drinking around me because he's afraid that I'm going to pick up a drink again. And I can understand that, you know. I know for me, if I did pick up a drink, it's nobody's fault. It would be my fault, okay? But I just don't have the gumption to go out and get a beer. I mean, because I know what will happen to me. If I did start drinking again, there wouldn't be a show tonight. And I would probably take a bridge. And that's the truth. But I like where I'm at right now. I like the people. I like my life now. And my life has opened up to a lot of interesting things now. And yeah, you and everybody else that know me too, hon. But I just have so much to live for now, you know, and this looks great. So everybody out there in recovery tonight, or anybody that's having some mental issues or just feeling depressed or lonely, you know what? Give somebody a call, you know. Give somebody a call and don't always remember, you're not in this alone. There's a lot of people. Yeah, I don't have the desire to drink, hon. So, since my guest canceled tonight, the people who I have in my chat, is there any questions you would like to ask me? Any questions? And I'd be more than happy to answer whatever you got. Doreen, Joni, Del, Rodney, anybody who just wants to ask me a question, feel free, and I can do it. I mean, I guess you can consider this open mic night for everybody. And whenever the questions come, I'll stop and I'll answer the questions. So what's Thanksgiving? Okay. Mom's doing okay. Mom's doing okay. Dal, you want to get a hold of Joe and you want to come on? Come on in, bud. I appreciate it. Mom's doing okay. She's doing okay. She's a good person. And So if you can hear this, can you bring Dylan? So how's everybody's Thanksgiving? Hey, Dell, how are you, buddy? Thank you, buddy.
How's everybody's Thanksgiving? Hey, Dell, how are you, buddy?
Hey, how's it going?
All right, bud.
Hey, Dell, how are you, buddy?
Oh, we're like double talking here, dude.
Oh, yeah, sorry, I got to turn down my, I was watching you on my TV. Oh, we're jumping. Okay. So this view doesn't do me any justice there. I'm looking a little haggard here. So how things there? I noticed I sent you a little clip there anyway, or a little you got to put some color in your background.
Yeah, I know. I was
paint your walls.
I have to learn how to do backdrops or whatever they're called, screenshots.
Or it might be clipped out here. I'm not sure.
It is, but they're ugly. I don't like them. But I have a question from Johnny. She wants to know how.
Can you hear me there?
Yeah, I can hear you. I can hear you. Hey, Johnny.
Maybe I'm too close to that thing there. I'll move over here.
Johnny, how I started PPS was back in 2006 in February.
Maybe I got to put my headphones on. Maybe that's the thing.
There you go. I went to Gettysburg in February, and I was looking for Ghost. And then March 6th of 2006, I actually went up meetup.com, and that's where I formed PPS. And we've been going strong ever since. Do a lot of investigations. We went, have a good Doreen that's in the room right now. She was part of my group. She's very good. And she's a very good investigator. So if you want to ask Doreen any questions, you're more than welcome to. But that's how I started PPS. And this has gotten me going. So, Dell, can you hear me, buddy? Dell? Dell, can you hear me?
Okay, I'm going to have to do this two ways here, I think, there, Sean, because I'm getting this is the big problem that's been happening there is with the iOS program there with StreamYard. I can hear you on my TV, but I can't hear you through the speakers.
Oh, my God.
It's almost like I'm talking to. I don't know, it's coming through like gibberish, but okay.
Hey, Dell.
Okay.
So
I'm going to listen to you there, and
you'll talk to me there. That's cool.
And then I'm going to talk to you here. Okay. So ask your question again there, Sean.
Yes. Is there, does Canada have a different date than Thanksgiving than the United States?
Our Thanksgiving happens a month earlier. Yep. Our
Thanksgiving. Oh, wow.
No, we get before the snowfall anyways up here in Canada. Oh, wow. And so we get to enjoy the harvest and the fruits of our labors there a little bit earlier than the rest of the U.S. does because you guys are a little bit warmer.
Okay, this is kind of crazy, huh? Oh, wow. So, does anybody out there have any questions for me or Dell?
We're almost like we're on time delay.
Yeah, we are. Like, I think it's a 3-second delay. But so, our Thanksgiving tradition here. At the Kelly family is that we usually cook a turkey and then we have mashed potatoes. And then, like Doreen will know, I work. But not this year. I actually got Wednesday and Thursday off. And Doreen's talking in the chat if you want to know a little bit more. And She was really good. She was very inspirational in the PPS group. She was like one of the backbones. And Dell, are you on now? No way.
Dell, are you on now? Yes, I'm moving around. I'm trying to find a good spot here where I'm not getting too much overlap.
Okay. But
So yeah, here I'm just looking at. I can see the questions you got there. It says, how did you get involved with PPS?
Yeah, and what I did was, like I told Johnny before, started in March of 2006. And Doreen, who's in the room right now, you know, she's the little boss, and I was the big boss, and we did a lot of investigations together. And we went to a lot of places, taught her everything she knows, and that's how we got it. But so I used to work for a company, Giant Eagle, and for like I would work every Thanksgiving I'd work, and usually I'd be really tired when I got home. But this year is kind of different because I work for a company called Swap and Save, and I'm actually off on Wednesday and Thursday this week, and that's like really, really cool for me. So I don't have to like be crazy or, you know, be tired anymore. And Dal, you there, buddy? You still trying to find the place, huh?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm just trying to get my mic there sort of working out there. I'm still on a time delay.
Okay. So that's where, Joni, how do you celebrate Thanksgiving? What do you do, bud? If you want to, you know, I mean, it's great.
For me?
Well, I was asking Joni, you all settled in now?
Sort of a bit there. So do you end up having a lot of people there come over for Thanksgiving there, Sean?
We used to, Bill, but it's just me and my family now. Ever since
cook a big turkey.
Well, at one time we did, dude, but now it's just like a little hen, something small, a little bit of mashed potatoes. No, Joni, I don't work for Giant Eagle no more. But that's and then watch football or whatever. That's what I wanted to ask you, Dal. Do you follow football, Canadian football, or American football?
I don't follow any football anymore. I follow hockey. That's what I.
What's your favorite team? The Toronto Maple Leafs.
I played hockey since I was born, and I had skates when I came out of the womb. And so in sporting things, I play a lot of sports. I don't watch a lot of them unless I'm going to watch them live.
Mm-hmm. Do you like the Penguins or do you like the Maple Leafs?
I was at the Igloo. Mm-hmm. And I have so much Toronto Maple Leaf stuff. I'll go and actually get dressed up for American Thanksgiving there.
Yeah, Doreen Shepherd's pie. Yeah, that was good stuff. But yeah, no, I'm a big Penguin follower. Question to ask you, Dal. Who's bigger up there, Mario Lemieux or what the hell is his name? He played for the Edmonton Oilers.
Yarmer Yager?
Gretzky.
Oh, Wayne Gretzky?
Yeah, who do you like better, Lemieux or Gretzky?
I like both of them. They both did separate things that were both great. I think Wayne Gretzky would never exist in a league today without the enforcer rule that got passed on later on.
Right.
And I think Mario Lemieux was better over the top size-wise player. Gretzky was protected by bullies that they were allowed, or you're going to call them bullies, enforcers on the ice. Mm-hmm. That's, I guess it goes the same way with a football team, right?
Right.
Your offensive line, the bigger they are and the tougher and the faster they are, protect the quarterback. Doesn't matter how well the quarterback can throw the ball or whatever, as long as he pass it off to somebody that's better and just have the mindset to carry out orders, I guess you have to go with that.
My friend Doreen says she likes your Canadian accent.
She likes the A?
Yeah. In fact, I'll tell you what, I met a girl online one time, and she was from Canada, and we would type back and forth, right? And she would always put A on the back, A, you know, on the at the end of her sentences. That was pretty cool. What did you guys do for Thanksgiving, Del?
Well, our Thanksgiving was a month ago, so we did up a turkey. I used to be an apprentice chef, right? So I did up a bunch of different sides, like beans, carrots, Brussels sprouts. We had stuffing, gravy, the turkeys, the kubasaw. Kubasaw is like sausage. And it was just the two of us because her youngest there doesn't eat anything except chicken nuggets and fries. And then we just gave away a bunch of food afterwards after we cooked it up.
Uh-huh. Do you have like a certain tradition that you guys do there?
I guess it almost the same food sort of comes on there every sort of holiday. Like even Christmas, we'll do a turkey, ham, or roast beef, pierogies, or puddeha. If you're Ukrainian, you know what those are.
Yeah.
Cabbage rolls.
Oh, yeah. The good stuff.
And then I just, for the next 3 weeks, I eat leftovers because Laura doesn't like to eat leftovers.
Oh, to me, leftovers are great. Now, for me, part of the turkey that I like is the dark meat. You know, I can't handle the breast because it's too dry. I don't care how many cranberry sauces you put on.
Oh, I'm a big fan of the dark meat. The dark meat is the best.
Oh, my God, yeah. Thigh, leg. Definitely. But let me tell you something. What I found out being a meat cutter is that
you ever have the Pope's nose?
No, but I've had the tail of the turkey. The tail of the turkey is very, very good. Did you ever try
that? Yeah, there you go. That's the Pope's nose. That's the big fat bundle that's right at the back there, right heck around all the dark meat.
Yes, sir. That's the best type of eating on the turkey.
My grandfather used to, he was always on the Ukrainian side there. He was always have the neck. That was his thing, was the neck.
Oh, really? The neck was good. Doreen.
And then I make soup out of everything, too. Eh? I'm a big, huge soup person.
All right. What's wrong with not saying something about the comment on the breast there, Doreen? That's an inside joke here. But my mom, she makes a lot of turkey soup. And in fact, I like the turkey soup more than I do like the chicken soup because the turkey soup is a lot sweeter than the chicken soup. You know what I mean? So there was there's a joke out there. And this is true because I swear to God, I wait for it every year, but it never happens. But the joke is that a guy goes into a supermarket with his gun and he's hunting turkeys, you know, for the frozen turkeys, you know, when he's hunting the gun. This is like, no guys are hunting turkeys this year. So I guess we'll have to wait till next year. But I'd like to ask you, Del, is what's your opinion on mental illness? I'm really big on that tonight.
My opinion on mental illness. Ooh, geez. I, Well, I guess that comes into a whole part of reference in what do you think is mentally ill?
Mm-hmm. Anxiety, depression.
Because there's a part that comes out of there where people want to label things, how do you want to say it there, that are maybe just quirks, and then you want to get into a part there is that when it becomes mental illness that harms other people, that becomes disruptive to society, I guess. Mm-hmm. That's where you have to draw the line. I think there's a part there is that, do you classify mental illness in being something that somebody that stands up for something that nobody else agrees with, and maybe they're right, but does it?
Good night, Johnny.
That this becomes a sort of a really funny gray line there, doesn't it?
Yeah, but I don't know. It's just something that I wanted to talk about tonight a little bit. Have you ever paranormal investigated, Del?
Well, I had the stuff that we did at our house there, where we had, I went and did a lot of research. I set up a lot of equipment. So I guess you can say that I was sort of a paranormal investigator. I never came to any conclusion out of it that something was not right.
Mm-hmm.
Laura can tell you that she concluded that it was something different than me. And so we can both agree that something happened on our shared front, and our determination about what I think is and what she thinks is might be two separate things.
But you know what? That's a good thing to have, you know, to have two different opinions on something, you know what I mean? And as long as you guys respect each other's opinions, then that's awesome. That's great. That's a good thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just I don't know. You guys are great friends. You know, I have to tell you that. And I really, truly appreciate your friendship. And one of these days I'm going to make it up to Thunder Bay, and then we'll do some fishing, and then we'll do some gold prospecting.
There we go. Yes, that's yeah. Right. You're doing prospecting there. And yeah, didn't like, We were talking about when I was on your show there last week is about, like, I did a lot of work in the bush and cutting lines with an axe. And like, I still even remember my prospector's license number, because I wrote it so many times and so many posts, E3234562E.
Yeah, I know. But I'm just grateful. You know, because at the beginning of my show, I talked about gratitude. And again, I am very grateful that you came on the show to help me out tonight.
Yeah, well, I just was just clicking around, and I was just I've been watching this TV show, The Wheel of Time.
What's it about, The Wheel of Time?
And I just went by there because this is a book series I've been reading since I was in my teenage years. And mm-hmm. They just finally started doing it. And I think it's on Amazon Prime. And all of a sudden, hey, and just all of a sudden clicked through. And there's Sean. I says, there's.
We had, I know what I want to bring up. Last our show on Chasing Prophecy earlier, Jenny brought up, have you ever heard of the Black Eye Club?
You're talking about the Alien Club or the Demon Club? Because it's been named different things there. It's where they have the slits of the eyes, that the eyes change color?
No, they're a black eye. You know, like somebody punches you and you get a black eye? Yeah, like the Pope has it. Summit of Royal.
Oh no, I haven't heard of that. That's so, I guess, almost like Fight Club.
Basically, that's what I thought when we started to talk about it, because she sent the link to it, and it seemed pretty strange. Now they claim that it's like a higher part of the Illuminati. Your thoughts?
Hmm. You know what, one part of this there, and this is what I'll say to a lot of these different things that go on, is that some people get off on the adrenaline and the high of pain. That's why you have people that cut themselves. That's why you have people that like to walk into situations and get beat up, because they get this adrenaline and or this feeling of something, because they're non-emotional, but they get to feel this emotion or this feeling. Mm-hmm. And then they turn it on to other people, says, hey, you haven't felt anything like I felt, come and join me, watch this,
right.
And then this is cultish behavior.
So do you think the Illuminati is a cult?
I think part of that I think that, okay, there's three different things what people believe the Illuminati to be, and I'm still doing research on this and still looking into this so many times, but I think there is a group of wealthy people that do actually pull the strings on the rest of government.
On all governments or just the United States?
Financially speaking.
Financially speaking?
Yeah, all governments, because all governments have to deal with some sort of bank financer.
Okay. And so the Illuminati, do you think it's just like one?
And so this is a question I've been asking for a long time there, Sean, is why is gold so important?
It's the next money thing for us.
Because gold doesn't do anything for the human body, period.
Right. I guess you can say that for silver too, right?
Yep, exactly. Yeah. I think the only thing that I found that gold does for the human body is in one part of rheumatoid arthritis medicine for the hands, that it actually helps. It's a buffering agent in that, but you can't eat it. It doesn't survive. You can't live on gold,
right?
Not like you need air, water, or shelter, right?
Right. But the money from it can, the money that you get from the gold, you can get all that, the house. Say like what happens when the world,
right? But that somebody had to go and put into that whole part about why is gold important, because you know what, if I had fresh water back then, right, that you would be able to survive for a long time, or you have a rock.
Mm-hmm. true That's a good question. That's a good,
right? Somebody put the idea that gold is important, and I've watched a bunch of documentaries where they say, well, gold represents the sun and it can be used in all these ways. It can be pounded down and it's so malleable. You can make it into all these materialistic things, right? Mm-hmm. And the thing is, was that that's materialistic things. It's not usable of anything else besides the importance that somebody put on it.
Right. Okay. And do you know who, do you have an idea who might have did that? I mean, gold's going, what, at $1,800 an ounce?
Well.
And silver's what, 27, 28
well, an ounce? The thing is, though, is that there's many theories of understanding is that there might have been, and this is what I'm still researching. I haven't found out my ending part out of this, so I'm still looking for new information. One theory I thought it was aliens needed gold because they could use it for their electronics more than what we could. Another part is that there's a part that our civilization, we're in our fifth generation of redoing our civilization, and the gold was important in electronical devices and some sort of thing there that was before. And what we're discovering now are little parts of these machinery that are being brought up through discoveries and archaeology that history is not what we were told, that there was actually more civilized beings before us.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Now, I know you've watched Oak Island. We talk about it. What? See, here's my theory on Oak Island, okay? With all the evidence that they're finding, to me, what we were taught in the books was wrong. And do you think that with all this stuff that they find that they can actually change, do you think they would change the history books, or do you think they'll leave it at that?
With Oak Island?
Yeah, you know they're finding stuff like 1400s, 1300s, right. Templars, you know, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
You think they'll change the history?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that big, huge part of Oak Island, after the first season I watched it, it has become more of a scam and a con man game there for investors to go into, because I already had a thing where they could went and gone down that hole 130 feet beforehand, because they did this in Boston where they were doing the big dig. Is you just drill down a bunch of bore holes, you freeze all the ground, and you just excavate in the center of the freezing part there, and you get down to the part where you need to go and look at. And they could have done this in season one and been over and done with it, but they've been dragging it on so long, and I think they've been sort of filtering. I think they were actually being caught a couple times there of planting materials.
Mm-hmm. You know what? Sometimes I watch the show and I look, it's like they're in one spot and all of a sudden this pops up. You know what I mean? You know, and what blew me away, like I watched it a couple weeks ago, that, you know, gold isn't solvable. You know, it isn't solvable. And they were finding gold particles in the water along with silver. And I'm thinking, I don't know. Is there something that we're missing?
Well, yeah, this is a funny thing. This is the part there with the, when you're dealing with gold. Gold goes down very small, but it doesn't go down to an infinitesimal part that you can actually be absorbed by the body.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why these people, fake shaman and fake mystical people want to say, oh, monatomic gold, right? To get down to a gold atom, you have to melt gold down or heat it up to 7,600 degrees Celsius.
Mm-hmm.
And, but thing is, those, as gold cools down, it coalesces back together into gold again. Okay. So you never get it back to the atom. Right.
Right. I know what you mean. Yeah. But I think I got like about a couple more minutes. And again, dude, I want to thank you for being on tonight. And we got to do this again.
Yeah. I got to be for about another 2 minutes here. My phone's dying out there, Sean. So,
all right. Happy Thanksgiving or happy holidays to you, buddy.
Yeah, and I want to just say, hey, thank you all the people that are listening out there. You got Doreen, you got Joanne McGlint or McGillick.
McGillick, yeah, Johnny, yeah, and yeah, thank you. All right, buddy.
Yeah, and then you got me.
Yeah.
And Rodney Cox, who showed up there too.
Yep, absolutely. All right, buddy. You have a good night.
I just want to wish you a happy Thanksgiving there, Sean.
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye. And